Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I am so delighted that Valero remembered last time Aronde was on with us. He said he wants Gordon Lightfoot as his entrance music.
It's very weird.
It is weird. I love this song.
But OG doesn't strike me as a Lightfoot fan.
It doesn't seem like a guy that would walk into Dave and Buster's where we are and, you know, the DJ would crank up the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald from Gordon Lightfoot because OG was in the room, but God bless him for being his own soul. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. It's draft night. Our friend, former Miami Dolphins receiver Aronde Gadsden is with us 24 hours late, but he is here. Hello, OG.
Hey, when you're 24 hours late, that's the kind of music you walk into.
If I said you is the guy who walks into the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald about 24 hours late, you'd go, yeah, sounds like it. Sounds about right.
Seems like I should have on one of the long coat chaps and a six shooter or something.
A six shooter.
And walk in with the what are those saloon doors?
Yeah. Turn both ways.
Yeah, exactly. So Aronde, so we've been doing on draft week here. We've been having everybody come on and tell their draft day stories, and it, from Brady Quinn to Gino Toretta to Josh Booty to Randy McMichael, Ronnie Brown, Channing himself, OJ McDuffie. I mean, Tuan Russell. We have had everyone come on and tell their draft story. Yours is a little different because you went undrafted, right?
Correct.
Now, did you know you were going to go undrafted, or did you have any thought that maybe you'd get that phone call?
Second day, you know, it's all a crapshoot. But in my mind, I was thinking at least fifth, sixth round, seventh round, somebody would say, hey, let's pick this guy. Let's give this guy a shot. In my mind, coming from Winston-Salem State, we only had 2,500 kids and 2,500 students. And I had 21 touchdowns my senior year. I think, like I said, the first wide receiver taken that year was J.J. Stokes. I think he had like 12. So I'm like, yeah, what about me? You know? But didn't work out that way.
And, OG, them I actually got the names written down, OG. Michael Westbrook, Joey Galloway, J.J. Stokes, Antonio Freeman, Chris Jones, Chris Sanders, Frank Sanders, Jimmy Oliver. What names do you remember? Because mine are Odell Thurman and Barrett Rudd. When they drafted those guys over me, it broke my heart. Any of those names pop up in the draft that just got you upset?
Not those names, but J.J. Stokes, obviously. You know, and then Billy Davis. He got drafted in front of me at the Cowboys. He was the last guy, and there was one other guy that got drafted. The Cowboys was a tight end at University of Washington, but they made him a wide receiver. So those two guys were important to me. But I think for me, the best thing that happened was, you know, I got a chance to be a free agent. So at the point after the draft, you sat there for 2 days because it wasn't this glorious thing they have now. I think it was, you know, done on a Saturday and Sunday, all seven rounds. And after the Sunday's over and your name's not called, you're like, hey, what am I going to do? You know, getting the monkey wasn't in plans at the time. But, you know, you get to pick, you know, where you want to go at that point. You know, I was at my agent's house in Dallas, and we just, like, went through every roster trying to figure out where did I have the best shot, you know, of going. They usually take 13 receivers to camp, and they're only keeping five. So you got to look. They got the top three from last year. They just drafted a guy in the first round, and the fourth guy returned punts. So you got to figure out where you're going to fit in. And I wasn't returning punts. So it was kind of tough. especially coming from historically black college with 2,000 people. But the only glimmer of hope I did have was 2 years prior, Yancey Thigpen went in the second round from Winston-Salem State to the San Diego Chargers. So that gave me a lot of hope.
Aronde Gadsden is with us. So how did you watch the draft on Saturday and Sunday? Did you have family with you, or you kind of knew, hey, maybe Sunday, I'm not going to do anything on Saturday? Like, what were you actually doing?
I was at my agent's house in Dallas, Texas, and we sat there and watched it. And he, obviously had wings and some O'Douls. And we watched the draft.
He didn't have O'Doul. Zero chance this dude had O'Doul.
I did. At the time, I did. You know what I mean? I was trying to, he was getting ready for the combine, the workout. He had to work out at the school. We actually didn't have it at Winston-Salem State. We had to go to Wake Forest, which is like 15 minutes away and work out. But, you would like, I'm an athlete. I'm going to stay, somewhat clean and pure and try to make this thing work out. So that's what we had. We had wings. The little subs and O'Doul. I think we had subs from ATB at the time.
I'm pretty sure he was mixing the O'Douls with Jack. He was making a legit drink there. Aronde Gadsden is with us. So you're sitting there. Now, had you been worked out by teams? Was there a team that you thought might have their eye on you?
When we went to the, we didn't have a pro day at Winston-Salem State. We had to go over to Wake Forest, and they had maybe 10 scouts out there, but they didn't mention anything to my agent. But we got a few calls from those 10 teams that were out there to see if we were still available, and the saving grace that got me was I had an intern earlier that year, which was my last semester of college, with Drew Pearson, and I had an internship there because I had a marketing degree. I was graduating with a marketing degree, and I worked at his company at the time, Drew Pearson Companies. He made hats and shirts and stuff. And obviously, being the entrepreneur at heart that I am, I carried – there was no huddle or anything at that time. I carried my VHS highlight tape in my back pocket just in case anybody asked. And he had asked to see it while I was working there, and he saw it. And when the draft was over, and I came in the next day, which was Monday, to work, and he said, "Anything happened?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "You still got your tape? Right here. I got it, brother, right here. It's right here." And he looked at it. He said, "I'm going to walk it over to the Cowboys." And he did, and that Tuesday, they said, "Come out for workout." And that's how it happened.
That is crazy.
And they signed me.
I didn't know that story. First of all, for people that don't know, Drew Pearson, a legendary Cowboys receiver.
Yeah.
You would carry around a VHS tape of your highlights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so the draft is over on Sunday, and you go back to your internship on Monday thinking, all right, I've got to find a career now.
Yeah. I'm going in there like, I guess I can just stay and work for Drew because I've already been working there. I guess, the draft was, April, and you graduate Mother's Day in May, so this was April, and so I had the internship to like the 1st of May, so I was working, and I was like, well, I'm going to go in here Monday and say, hey, Drew, listen, I'm thinking about after I graduate coming right back and working for you, and he asked me, and I had it, like when you go on the internship, you got your little bag, your little carry-all case, and I had it in there. And he asked, and I had it, and he watched, and he said, hey, I'm going to take it over there. He took it over there. And Tuesday, the guys, actually it was Jason Garrett's father who called. And I called my agent and said, hey, we're going to bring him in for a workout. Let's see what he got. And they brought me in for a workout.
Oh, gee, I don't want to question your decision-making process, but if your agent – didn't get the damn tape to the Cowboys pre-draft. That was his fault, OG.
No, he did. I mean, obviously, he sent it out to all 32 teams, but they, come on. Probably because I sent it in VHS. They probably like, who is this? Fine. I'm pretty sure everybody else had a CD or something at the time. I that's what I had. It was VHS still that time. It was still good, so it still had VCR.
And the thing about Drew Pearson and the backup plan, like, when was that decision made? Like, you were ready to just stop football? You were ready to go with plan B?
It was over. I mean, it was over, right?
There was nothing else at the, you know, at the time. This is 95, man. You know, it was nothing else at the time to do. I mean, what else I was going to do? I'm coming from Winston-Salem State, bro. I mean, nobody was knocking down the doors to come, you know, try to find me. It was just, you know, that was it. I went through every, you know, outlet I can, and still, after that, I went to the Arena League, so it was, at least I could have went a little earlier, but, you know, it worked out where, you know, they brought me in for a workout. You know, I ran the fastest 4.7 I could run. And, you know, in my mind, I was like,
beat Gordon Lightfoot.
I'm just catch all these passes. And that was my mantra, you know, going out through my whole career. Like, you know, there are going to be people faster and there are going to be people that's splashier, but I'm going to catch all these 10 passes. And that's what they do. You know, you come in for the workout, they're going to go to route tree with you. They're going to go through all 9 routes, and they're going to give you one route they want to see again. I'm like, yo, come hella high water, I'm catching these passes. And, you know, that's what I did. Jason Gadd was the quarterback that was throwing the passes. You know, they weren't going to have Troy out there. They sent Jason Garrett out there. It was just me and Jason Garrett. I forgot the guys that were out there at the time. Three scouts and me. That was it. You know, I was happy they gave me you get the gear when you go work out. You know, you get the cowboy shirt, cowboy shorts, you get the blue and white and silver Nikes and gloves. I'm like, shit, I go home with this. We won already.
Aronde Gadsden is with us. So just like when you think about what actually ended up transpiring, so you went from being undrafted over the weekend thinking maybe you're – football career is over, that your NFL dream is not going to happen, and then you fast forward a season later, you've got a Super Bowl ring.
Yep. I made it on the team. They gave me the tryout, and they brought me up for camp, and, you know, I made the team, and I'm gonna tell you a funny part about, you know, it's still now, but so like I said, we had 13 receivers. And I was one of the ones. Billy Davis and I made the team. The other guys got cut. And so when you make the team, just like now, you got to take those guys out. And so I made the team, you know, September 5th or whenever the first day was. You make the team, you happy. But now I got to take these guys out, right? And so we take the guys out. So you got to take the veteran wide receivers out to dinner. And so, you know, listen, Billy Davis was, I think he might have been a 6th-round pick or maybe even a 7th-round pick. So I don't know what his signing bonus was. But, you know, my signing bonus was $7,500, you know, at the time. Ooh. And so I got to take Michael Irvin, Kevin Williams, I think it's Corey Fleming, Kmart, and, you know, the other two, Ed Hervey. He's from USC. He's a speedster.
He's like, and some, hey, other y'all, guys y'all like Panera?
right. Y'all like Whataburger? But no, we got to take them out. So they had everything set up. And so we got the limo. We go out to eat. Then we go to an establishment, you know, a nice gentleman, you know, establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a good time. So at the end of the night, you know, everybody getting out the limo. They still did limos at the time, and we got to pay the bill, just us two. Man, that bill come out to $13,000.
So your bonus, your signing bonus, is really that's all. That's going right to the dinner.
Well, we split it. But you know, when you get your signing bonus. Well, I got me a nice little vehicle, you know, gave some to my mom. So I don't have the whole $7,500. I don't. So I was looking at Billy looking at me because, you know, if he was 7th round, his might have been, you know, $16,000. They couldn't have been much more than that. I'm pretty sure he did some things too. He probably got the truck with rims. I ain't getting no rims. I ain't getting leather. You know what I'm saying? He got leather and rims. You know.
Oh, geez, driving around with canvas seats and the hand crank windows.
Hey, I got some teenagers on my truck. You know, they 15s. You know, but they clean. And so we paid a bill. I called my agent. The good thing my agent lived in Dallas. He lived in Oak Cliff. And I was like, look, I'm going to need a little advance. Bill, you know, I only got five. And so he helped me out. So we split it. And we made it. But, boy, you can better believe that next year I was on point. Whoever the rookie was the next year, I was on point. Yeah, nah, I want the appetizer. Yeah, I want the cold shrimp in the little glass. You know that shrimp? I want that. I want all that.
So, yeah. Getting that money back in food.
Yep.
Yeah, and just, you know, you fast forward to, you know, Prime came in October and we won the Super Bowl and I got a monkey. And, you know, it was real quick. It happened quick. You know, it happened real quick.
Rondé
Gadsden. It was a good year.
And, I know you got to go to practice. So I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, so. Practice, Channing. You know, we got practice. We got spring football.
We practicing too. I got a job, baby. I got to tell the kids I'll be there. I'll be there in the summer.
Okay. All right.
I see you in the summer.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
We grinding.
As long as you grind. As long as they send you the plays via PDF, you know, to your email.
He's got it on a VHS tape.
Oh, bro, I got that huddle.com, but I'm going to do my VHS like OG.
Yeah, no, man, that thing tough. I wish I still had that tape, but that thing tough to keep around because, you know, you that thing – anyway, come out that little, it's over. Anyway, like, you gotta keep that.
And there ain't no way to play it. I haven't seen a VHS player in 10 years.
Man, you know when at the time you get you a nice little apartment, you get that wall unit. The wall unit and the side where you turn the TV on got the VHS. It come in it, so you just.
Whoa, Drew Pearson still got the VHS player.
He probably do. Look, you know how hard it is to get your clips on one VHS. You got to do like, you know, when you were young and the music and the tape, you got to stop it and then
play and record.
Yeah. You got to do a real clip. You got to do some
clipping. Rondé Gadsden, one of the greatest radio guests that we have. Thank you for gifting us with your presence, OG.
No problem. Chan, you out there tonight? You at the stadium?
Yeah, I'll be out there. You coming out?
All right. Yeah, I have to practice, though. I got practice.
Okay, you gonna throw that back in my face again? I thought we had established that earlier.
Valero, you got any Gordon Lightfoot to play him out?
Yes, I do.
Let's play OG out with little Gordon Lightfoot. Yes, of course. This is how he leaves the establishment. And I think I'll take one of these old duels with me.
You know, there's no bottle opener. You got to get the side of the... out of the bar and hit that thing hard.
Smack the top.
See you, Rondé.
All right, man. Thanks.
Rondé Gadsden. Somebody texts in. OG, always the best. Radio gold every time.
Yeah.
He is, man.
He's a personality, baby.
Good Lord. The stories that we have heard this week are phenomenal. Valero has cut some up, so we have draft stories like the real interesting part from a lot of our guests. So don't go anywhere because we're going to treat you with some of the better stories that we've heard this week when we come back. Radio.com. Radio.com. Wow. That's a throwback. When I think of Lorelei, my head turns all around. No chance you know who this is.
For this?
Yeah.
Dolly Parton, man. That's easy. Only name I know. If it's not Dolly or Barbara Streisand, you got me.
Well, first of all, it's a guy.
This is not a man.
Yes, it is. This is Styx.
That's a man singing.
That's a man. That's Dennis DeYoung, I think.
With man private part?
I mean, not that I've seen him, but I'm guessing, yeah.
What they say about Assumption now.
They're Dennis DeYoung, who I think was the lead singer, or was it Tommy Shaw? I don't know. Anyway, but Dennis DeYoung is performing with Night Ranger at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater. And the only reason I saw it because we get a newsletter. One of our sister stations is The Beach. And I saw that, and I thought to myself, I want to go see that. Dennis DeYoung and Night Ranger. I had no idea you were going to play that, Falero. You don't know that song, Falero, do you?
No, I only know it from you.
Yeah, Lorelai, great song.
Thank you.
Were they children? Why does voice sound like
no,
that?
Oh, they
were grown-ups.
Yeah.
With facial hair?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
That was a woman there.
That was not.
I know a woman when I hear a woman.
Dolly
that
Parton.
Was a woman.
Somebody, I got to read the listeners here some of the texts that we're getting. And look, I don't want to be braggadocious, but sometimes I'm very proud of the radio that we do. Many times I'm very ashamed of the radio we do. For instance, yesterday I did a radio hair draft. I don't know if it was my best work.
And I was we filled, enjoyed it.
I was filled with shame at night thinking about it. But regardless, many times I'm very proud of something that we've done, and then I don't bring it up. And I want to, because I think this week of shows has been so phenomenal that I like the reaction that we're getting. Even when we had Omar on, and he's like, I've really enjoyed listening to this. My old roommate from college, Barry, who you love, he texted me this morning. He goes, I have to tell you, your shows this week have been unbelievably interesting. And somebody texts in, if this week doesn't get you a Marconi Award, none will. Mount Rushmore of Draft Week radio shows. I firmly believe that. Somebody texts in, you guys are hilarious. The bit with Brady Quinn about his ex-girlfriend and the Hawk and Quinn date. I was dying laughing. I'm surprised the FHP haven't shut you guys down because you guys are dangerous for drivers. You must cause 8 to 10 accidents while you're on the air. Whole bunch of texts that are praising Aronde Gadsden.
I'm with, and I have some ball players, you know, ex-teammates and stuff texting me and saying, bro, these stories are awesome.
They really are.
I just, and actually, and I know what y'all are going to say, get him on the show. I tried. He said he's picking his kids up. Zach Thomas texted me during OG's thing and was like, man, these stories are great. And I said, hey, you want to jump on and tell yours? He said, I'm in the pickup line. I'm about to pick the babies up. I can't.
We know. We know, Zach. It's not his wheelhouse. And I appreciate someone that knows his wheelhouse.
Yeah, he doesn't like the media.
The next time, though, that you guys are at Barnes & Noble in Boca, let me know. Right down the street.
That's where our dates are, Barnes & Noble.
Right down the street.
That's where we went from. I remember going out, drinking and partying with Zach. Now we take our kids to Barnes & Noble and stay upstairs where the kids can read books. We got lame.
Somebody texts in, man, I wish I could lie to you guys like these other texters. How dare you, texter? How dare you? Someone calls us the Avengers of the NFL draft coverage. Well, thank you very much. So here's, Falero's cut up some of the great stories. And again, the guests have been numerous, and not one of them has been a dud.
No.
Right? I think the best story that we've heard this week so far about draft day, and they've all been unbelievable, I think the best one we heard was Tuan Russell, which we don't have a clip of because it was just a couple hours ago and he was here live with us at Dave & Buster's. I think his draft day story was the most fascinating of any that I've heard. I was mouth open at the twists and turns of his draft day. It was crazy.
But them not knowing his name.
Right.
That I've never heard that before.
I mean, talk about the sport you love cutting you deep, you know? But so Falero's cuts him up. Let's listen. This is a couple minutes long. We'll listen to it together. Gino Toretta was on with us. Gino Toretta, of course, won the Heisman Trophy with the University of Miami and didn't get drafted until the 7th round. And here's his story.
Were you projected to be, you know, 6th, 7th round, or did you think you were going higher?
Well, obviously I thought I was going higher when you win the Heisman Trophy and every other freaking award that you
not that you're still angry.
not that I don't have still Keystone Bitter Beer face over it or anything.
So but, did someone tell, like, Crowder's got his story. He was told by Mel Kiper, you are going first round.
Yes.
You will not go later than number 20, Green Bay.
Green Bay Packers, number 20, is the latest Crowder's going, and I ate it up.
And he ate it up. He took out $1 million credit line. He spent some of it, and then all of a sudden He went, middle of the third round, late in the third round?
Early in the third round. It was like 70, and I thought I was going 20, and that money dropped.
And was very disappointing for him. So what did someone tell you where you thought you were going to go?
So my draft was the first year of unfettered free agency in the NFL. That was the new collective bargaining agreement. So you had, where in the past, the NFL, you couldn't move teams, right? So it was the first year where players had moved teams, meaning Scott Mitchell went from the Dolphins as a backup to a $20 million quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Where in the past, your only way to get players was to secure them through the draft. So nobody really knew in the first year. They're like, I heard things, we're not investing in quarterbacks because, these guys are just going to learn behind somebody else and then go take big money, once we teach them the ropes and things like that. So I had no idea. I mean, they said, between like from the third round on, but like my draft, so for example, Drew Bledsoe was the first pick. Rick Meyer was the second pick and quarterback. The next quarterback taken was the third round, Billy Joe Hobert. The fifth round was Mark Brunell. I was the fifth quarterback taken in the seventh round.
Wow.
And then after me was Trent Green, Elvis Gerbach, and the Pitt kid. So it was kind of crazy. I mean, you think about it. I mean, the end of that draft, I mean, Trent Green played, 10, 12 years. I mean, we had both gotten released after our rookie season. We worked out for the Steelers together a couple times. I mean, it's kind of, crazy situation looking back at the draft.
Did you have that time with your draft, draft story where there was one way you wanted it to happen and it happened a totally different way?
Well, seeing as the seventh round, I don't know, it was the second day of the draft or the third day of the draft, but everybody had to go home because there was a few
nights. Hey, y'all have to go. There's no room.
No, I mean, I was home in California with my family and not. I mean, I really wasn't. I was like, it's wherever it happens, it happens. I was just hoping basically to get to a team where you're going to get an opportunity to show what you can do. That I think is, critical, especially from the quarterback position. It's like if they don't, Channing, if they don't invest in you, the opportunity, a lot of times doesn't come to a guy. It doesn't matter how good he is.
So when you think about draft day, do you think of disappointment or is it, that was the culmination of my dream?
Well, I was pissed. Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, like Craig said, Channing said, you think you're going to, you're going to make some money, have an opportunity to play a game, make a nice living. And then you're like, man, what, Yeah, so it was disappointing to say the least. But then it's just, heck, it starts all over. I mean, it's the same thing as when these high school superstars come in and they sign with UM. You go from being the cat's meow to being cat litter, and you got to figure it out, and you got to start showing your wares on a new level, and you go from there. It becomes a business very, very quickly, and you don't really understand that when you're in college. And guys, I think guys enjoy the college experience a lot more because it's not, you're not sitting in a locker next to a guy that's been in the league 10 years, that's got four kids, and his priorities are a little bit different than a rookie 20-something year old coming into the league.
One of the great stories. The conversation was probably 20 minutes long, but that's one of the great ones. And we've got more to come this afternoon where we can listen and just marvel in the drama. That's why I say the movie Draft Day is terrible, because there's so much drama in the real draft night. You don't need to make a Kevin Costner movie.
They tried to concentrate on the drama of the team. The team's yelling kids' names.
Right.
The story is on the side we're doing.
No doubt.
It's on the player's side is the stories.
It is fascinating. So
I'm getting texts now from guys. My man Irv Adams just texted me. Him and his mom watched all day, sat in the living room watching all day. The Bengals told him he was a second rounder. The Eagles, the Bills, the Saints, the Niners, and some other bleepers told me I was a third rounder. He went undrafted. His mom kept the house phone free for two straight days, and he said the bleep never rang with a cry face.
That has to be the worst, right? Because you got to pick it up every now and then to make sure there's a dial tone.
Like, half the league told my boy Hervé Damas that he was getting drafted in the second or third round.
It's crazy. Undrafted. These stories are wild. We're at Dave & Buster's. We want you to join us and watch the draft with us tonight. Dave & Buster's in Hollywood. It's in the Oakwood Plaza. They've got happy hour going on right now. It goes till 7 o'clock. And you got cocktails half price. They've got $5 bar bites during happy hour, which is phenomenal. And then they've got tonight, because it's Thursday, all you can eat wings with a power card. And we've got all the big screens here. I think they're on ESPN right now. I know the draft is on ESPN and NFL Network, ABC as well. And we'll be here doing our show till 6. And then 8 o'clock, you'll have Alex Dono and Rashad Butler here, who I believe Rashad was taken in the third round of the NFL draft. He played in that national championship season for the Hurricanes. So he can regale you with stories of his time. But it's going to be a fun night here at Dave & Buster's, and we certainly want you to join us out here. It's going to be a great time.
They should do other people's jobs the same way they do the draft. You get out of medical school. There's a draft. A bunch of hospitals get together. You sit up on the table, and they point if they want you to be a doctor
for
them.
It would be great. You know, the Baptist South selects Dr. Chuck Metzger out of Lehigh. Yeah, wherever he went.
Woo!
yeah. I'd like to thank my mom. That would be funny if every profession had a draft.
I like it. Teachers, schools come in.
All right, more fun and frivolity from Dave & Buster's when we come back.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Trenier?
Yes, it is.
Great song. Crowder had the wrong headset on.
I've been trying to talk for 10 seconds. I'm like, damn, they can't hear me.
This dude was wearing the wrong headset.
Don't say nothing, Leroy. Ain't nobody asking for your
I'm
opinion.
I'm keeping my mouth shut, man. Whose headphones did you pick up?
Just a random pair that Twan Russell used about 3 hours ago.
I was seeing if Twan's was still working.
We're at Dave & Buster's in Hollywood. Draft is tonight, 8 o'clock. We want you to watch it with us here. Oakwood Plaza, just between Sterling and Sheridan. It's east of I-95. Come up to me. I'll give you a Dave & Buster's game card and a little power card so you can enjoy some games in the Midway. And we're going to be giving away some prizes tonight as well. Be raffling off some goodies from our friend Sinbad at Sinbad Sports. And we've got Hurricanes football tickets that we'll be giving away. So a lot of action tonight. Dave & Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. So if you're looking for a good fun night for draft coverage, we got it on all the big screens. And it will be the epicenter of all the fun. So we're telling you about all the stories that we've had, right? All the fascinating stories, and we had so many guests this week. So we listened to Gino Toretta in the last segment. Out of Toretta, Josh Booty, Randy McMichael, Ronnie Brown, O.J. McDuffie, Twan Russell, Brady Quinn, which is your most interesting draft story?
Twan, because of the fact that they messed his name up.
Told him he was going to be picked, but they were calling the wrong Russell.
He's Twan Russell. The guy's name was Matt Russell. He went, you know, whatever, 14 picks before Twan. But knowing that this is a million. These are billion-dollar corporations.
And to get something so wrong, a name.
A name of a guy. Where they're calling a guy in Iowa, but they're calling a guy in Iowa, they're talking to a guy in Miami. I've never heard that story. And, me and Twan hang out all the time.
Yeah.
He's never told me that story. That was the most surprising to me. The one that hit closest to my heart was Randy McMichael, because we grew up very similar, and I can see the Chitlin cookout on the front porch while drinking celebratory champagne, why mourning, and cussing out and crying with people. I can see them, Randy.
Let's listen to that one then. So Randy McMichael, former Dolphins tight end, he expects to go first or second round, ends up going fourth round. The whole draft party just becomes a get away from me evening.
And he had to go to sleep.
And had to wait till the next day.
That's a tough run.
Here's Randy McMichael. He was on with us, I believe, on Tuesday.
You go in the fourth round. Your draft day memories are what, Mac?
It was an emotional day, I'll tell you that, man. It was because it's my roommate, Terrence Edwards. It was his birthday. It was draft day. My whole family was up there. And then my real friends and then some of my fake friends that were there. And as the picks kept going, and like that, Jeremy Shockey was selected. I wasn't surprised. Then Daniel Graham, I was surprised. And then Jeremy Stevens, I was surprised. And then Doug Jolly, I was surprised. And then Chris Baker, I was surprised. And then Justin Peel. I'm like, hold on. And so probably by the end of the second round, I'm over there like, what the hell's going on? And it was crazy because as the picks went, everybody was like my fake friends. They were leaving. My true homeboys were there. And we had this rule that we were taking a shot of Hennessy every hour on the hour for draft day and Terrence's birthday. So by the end of the night, I'm drunk. I'm crying. My mama's crying. Grandmama, everybody's crying.
But you're legitimately like sad crying.
Yes, yes. We are upset crying. And so we go outside. I never forget. We're sitting on the front porch. And it's probably got to be 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, we're country folks. So in the South, we eat chitlins. So mama had brought a big trough of chitlins. And I remember we were sitting outside on the patio swing eating chitlins and drinking some of that champagne that I bought to celebrate. So we're all drunk, hungover, crying. It was just emotional night. Next morning we wake up, and then, damn, Justin Peel gets drafted. I'm like, hold on, man. This just ain't my day. So I just, you know what, I throw my hands up. And so I'm sitting on the couch, crying, stanking, sweaty, smelling like chitlins and liquor. Ain't brushed my teeth, nothing. And by then, all my family comes back from the hotel to the house. And so I'm sitting there, and then my boy runs in and says, Randy, Miami's on the phone. Now, leading up to the draft, Pat Jones, who was a tight end coach at Miami, kept calling every single day. Like, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever. Y'all said if I'm in the third round, y'all will take me. And even though I expected to go higher. So, long story short, my boy runs in with the phone. Randy, Miami's on the phone. I said, man, do not play with me. I'm so emotional right now, I might fight you. And so I get on the phone. It's Rick Spielman. He's telling me they're going to draft me. My family comes in. Then we got tears of joy. And then it comes across the screen. I'm drafted by the Miami Dolphins. The rest is history. But, yeah, it was a long weekend that I'll never forget.
And, Mac, I didn't have to sleep that night, man, because when I was coming out, it was like that when you were as well. The first through the third round was the first day, and then fourth through seven was the next day. You slept. You got some sleep that night?
No, I didn't sleep. Like I said, I don't remember sleeping. You know how when you're so drunk that you think you black out? But, I mean, I was actually just sitting up there. And I'll never forget, me and my brother, you know my brother Tobias, we were sitting up toasting champagne. I mean, it had to be like 5 in the morning, not sleeping, just like, hey, man, at least you're going to get drafted. We know it's going to happen sooner or later. And then, I mean, my cousin Mario, it's quiet in Athens. He's throwing up in the bushes. I mean, it was just chaos, man. It really
like
was
a Saturday
chaos.
Night Live skit.
I mean, people don't believe if you had to be there to see like all the drunk people, sad people, crying people. I mean, it was just emotional, man. You had stories of you some people came out and they hated each other. I mean, it was crazy, man. It was crazy. I thought the police was coming.
So both sides, in your dream, you were drafted late first, early second. Your whole family's in the living room. Y'all all y'all all toast champagne. And then the reality is people throwing up in the bushes, hungover. Everybody
like
sitting around smelling like chitlins.
That's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. But I can say it was great. I got for my family to experience. My mom, my grandma. I remember grandma. She poured a whole bottle of champagne on my head in the living room after I was drafted. I mean, it was a great night. But I'm telling you, it is that Saturday night will go down in history as one of the most wild draft nights ever. Because you would have thought I would have got drafted by all the commotion and chaos going on.
There you go, Randy McMichael with his story, which, I mean, you're laughing. I mean, you could feel that one.
Man,
Because what do you do? You have no control over what's happening, but there are dozens of people that are being emotionally affected by it. It's a weird dynamic, man.
You feel a responsibility to other people, which you don't even need to, but you do.
That's what Twan just said earlier. I'm letting people down. You're not letting anybody down, but you feel like you're letting people down. You feel like my mom. My mom supported me throughout my entire career, buying me, you know, bicycles to ride to school with and stuff, you know, when I was in middle school. And now I'm not getting drafted. I'm not making these millions of dollars that was supposed to change our family's life. So I'm almost feel bad and feel bad for her because of what I'm not doing. It sounds crazy now, but at the moment, it was exactly how you felt. You feel like you're letting people down.
All right, we're at Dave and Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. It's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour coming up next.
Radio.com. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.